Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. Michael, I've got some competition with fans and things in the background, so I'm going to do a sound check before I go further. How's the sound?
Sounds great. I cannot hear the fans at all.
Oh, very good. Okay. So I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Phil, who is here to speak with us about her experience of the most recent practice intensive that we just completed last week. Welcome, Phil.
Yeah, thanks, Jen. I'm really happy to be here because this is one of my favorite practices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a nice addition to the year, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really has. And, you know, each one is so, it's almost like short and succinct and really focused. And I think, to me, that's what really is so powerful about it, because not only is it powerful for the week, but I find that it carries on.
Yeah.
Each one of them has carried on in my practice.
Yeah, that's been my experience too. And as you say that, I think one of the things I've loved about it is that, so there's that assignment. Well, I'll tell you what. How about you want to walk us through what the format is, just in case there are people who haven't participated before?
Yeah, that, because I find that the format is what it really is so very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing is we receive an email, which is like an assignment, but kind of like a whole little class, that almost like an email class, only maybe not as long.
Mm-hmm.
And I've found both of them tremendously helpful. The first one was so simple, just rest with tea or something, whether it's virtual tea or, you know, or real tea. And the second one was on food, but I'll get back to that. The first we get the email, and then and the assignment, and then we read the email and start practicing the assignment during the week with a lot of recording and listening. And then I think the brilliant part, besides all of it, is that we send one text midday to a facilitator who sends us one text back. And the thing I found is that really keeps me, that text, the awareness of the text keeps me focused on the assignment during the day. Yeah. And then at the end of that week, you know, we have a process call with a senior facilitator, which is really nice because it's a small group and we all get to talk. And then a radio show with Sherry for all of us. And I think the format itself is pretty brilliant.
Yeah, I really agree. And one of the things I love about it, which is what I started to say a few minutes ago, is that it gives us an entire week to look at the one focus. And I appreciate that because I often feel like, gosh, everything we look at in practice contains everything, you know, in a sense. And so it's so fun to have that whole week on the one theme and, as you say, the accountability of bringing my attention back to it, not only through my own recording and listening, but knowing that I'm going to be reporting in once a day to someone, so that always has me stop and looking at it, and then the end of the week where we all get to come together and share insights from the week.
Yes, so last one was focused on food, but it was broken up into three components, which, you know, were simplicity around food and care in like the shopping and the eating and preparing and then the eating and the cleaning up, and then the gratitude after, you know, just gratitude for it all. And what I looked at in that is, well, I'm pretty good and have been for years on the simplicity part and the gratitude part, you know, and actually the actual eating too. I'm pretty present for that because I really enjoy the food. But I noticed in the preparation and the cleanup is where conditioning can come in. It almost felt like I was treating them as a transitional place, you know, hurry to get it done so I could eat and then hurry to clean up so I could do the next thing. So I brought all my attention and awareness to those places. And what I noticed is just kind of what you said. All it wasn't anything. Oh, and this was under the thing of care. So that was the care part. And so all it was is being present. And I didn't have to do anything else but that.
Yeah.
And everything had a whole different thing about it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what's fun about that process that you're describing, Phil, is it's like with every practice opportunity, you know, Sherry will sometimes joke, you know, we're always saying the same thing, right, over and over. But that, especially with Ashwini on board, it's so fun that we find these creative ways, these different windows to look in, different doors to open and look through, and that with each one, we kind of find another area where we hadn't realized it's sort of invisible that conditioning has been there and has that. And so I love the way you describe that, that over the years you've really gotten how important it is to have simplicity in your food, and you're really present to eating it and sounds like really enjoying it. But the sense of like, well, yeah, but I mean, the getting it ready and the cleaning up, you know, those are transition things. And to realize, well, why, how can that be? Right? Those are moments in my life like everything else. And so just using it as an opportunity to bring presence into more and more and more of our lives.
Yeah, and the fun part is with my meals, I don't have to be, it doesn't take too long to prepare them nor clean up. So I only had a small window of time. So I really had to focus on being present during that time. And then the other thing that I found really helpful about these is, like I said, it wasn't just for this week. I'm still practicing being present, you know, and noticing when I'm not in those periods of time. And throughout the day, that's what the other thing was about it. Just by having those particular focuses, I would notice at other times when I was either hurrying or not, you know, not fully present in that same way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then the other last thing about this is I've gotten so that I want to make sure each morning, even, you know, when I'm not doing this, this particular intensive is to have a focus. And a great one for me is taking it from what universe are you creating, you know, and just take one of those cards and then it's the whole week. And then the way it's written, it break it down into a little piece of it each day, and that's been a brilliant practice. And it's been, I've thought of it because of these practice intensives. And I do that when there's no email class or something, a practice intensive or something else,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that is really fun. That reminds me of how we've had people on Good News Updates talking about the stop, drop, and text. And what it's like, oh, shoot, you know, stop, drop, and text is ending, and realizing, wait, I can text myself.
Yeah, right.
And I love what you're saying. So if I'm understanding what you're saying, basically, you always have a practice intensive going on. So if there's an email class, that's your practice intensive. Yeah. If there's a practice intensive, that's your practice intensive. But if there isn't a specific one, Sangha-wide, that you use what universe are you creating, the card deck, to pick a card at the beginning of the week and then go through the different sections and have that be your practice intensive for the week. So fun.
Yeah, and I really love that. Yeah, you know, it does that same kind of thing where it keeps me on track during the day with something which is points at everything. You know, basically, be aware, be present to my life.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. You know what's really fun about that, Phil, is Phil and I are both on retreat right now, doing the In This Way I Do Most Deeply Vow to Train Myself retreat, which is fabulous. We're 2 days in, and it's all around training. And it what occurs to me as you're saying that is that because there's so much support in practice right now, we're training ourselves to train. You know?
Yeah.
So that even when there isn't a specific Sangha thing, it occurs to you, well, I want to train with something, because just the process of training is so transformative and so joyful that you just naturally think of these ways that you want to train.
Yeah. Oh, that's really well put, because that is so true. Training is it's such a joyful process, and I think the word training, I was looking at that during this retreat, is what is a great word for it, because most all of us, at least I, always love to train, you know, in some fashion. And so, yeah, and this practice is so absolutely out of this world, you know, to train in it is just fabulous.
Yeah, yeah, very fun. And so the folks who are masterminding the theme for the year are doing their job, aren't they?
Yeah.
All right, Phil, well, thanks so much for being on this afternoon.
Oh, you're quite welcome. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Phil. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How you doing?
Good. That was so fun to listen to those two.
Yeah.
The joy of training. You know, the joy of practicing, not training to get somewhere or practicing to figure something out or learn something or know something, or just the joy of training, the joy of practicing. Very fun.
Beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, and great. You know, they didn't whine a single bit about the temperature, which I thought was just very incredibly brave of them. Yeah. So people here are training, doing hot weather training, sweating.
Wow.
Training. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's very, very toasty where we are. I don't know this. There, I remember years ago. I don't know if you were you at the Sesheen in the hut, or was that before your time?
That was before my time.
I'm pretty sure Phil was there. We made T-shirts. I survived the Thanksgiving Sesheen because we were in the hut. The building didn't exist at that time, so we're cooking in the, you know, the old army tents and sitting in the hut, and it was raining so hard that you're just soaked constantly. There was just, you know, there was nowhere to go. There's no way to get out of it. It was just, and it was so fun because we were just, that's what we were doing. And I sort of have that same feeling with this. You know, it's just so hot. that there's something about giving into that or getting in that makes the training or the practice more immediate or more, I don't know what it does. Maybe somebody else... you know, I'll get some people to articulate it when I get back with them. But there's something about when the circumstances are just that much more challenging, we rise to the occasion. You know, it sort of brings out a heroic quality to our training, to our practice. That's really thrilling. And for me, anyway, and I hope for other people, a sense of, and this is what I want to continue, even when the circumstances are once again easier, when it's not so challenging to just show up and be present. Can I stay in this same level of, yes, we're here, we're doing this, yes. You know? So it's fun.
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds good.
I know you wish you were here sweating with us, but...
Well, I have been. It's warm here, and so I have been wondering how much warmer it is up there with you all.
A lot. Yeah. So, do we have anything coming up that you want us to know about?
Yes, we do. The first thing is a non-event, and that is that there is no show next week because the retreat will be in Menlo Park.
That's right, and many of the folks who would be doing that are going to be on retreat.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And there's only about 24 hours left to sign up for Reflective Listening Buddies.
Mm-hmm.
So don't miss out on the weekly support for Conscious Compassionate Awareness Practice.
Yes, learn all those good skills and get to be there for somebody else and have somebody be there for you.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's a great system.
Mm-hmm.
And Jen Colmore a senior practitioner at the Zen Monastery Peace Center, will lead two workshops in Ohio this coming month, and that's July 18th in the Dayton area on the joy of directing attention, and July 19th in Canton on the joy and freedom of acceptance.
Wow. That sounds like fun.
Now, I hear a theme of joy in there.
Yeah, I do too. She's just going to take that joy to the, is that the Midwest? I'm sorry to be so ignorant.
Yeah, it's somewhere between the Midwest and the East Coast.
Yeah, somebody will sort me out on that. But anyway, yes. Yeah, that'll be great.
And a new email class called Sex and Money Are Dirty begins July 31st. So join Sherry, June, and Ashwini for a fun exploration of the difficult places that conditioning would keep away from the light of conscious, compassionate awareness.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, Sherry, when I saw that announcement come through in my email, I was just overcome, because a month ago, we took a big chunk away from conditioning's power over communication.
That's right.
And now we're going right for the hard stuff.
That's right. What is it going to have left? I mean,
we're just
running it to the ground, and that's, yeah. So we might not want to be too quick to count it out, right? But we are going to keep taking those chunks. We're going to keep bringing as much as we can into conscious, compassionate awareness, right? We know it's a worthy opponent, we're taking on. No more of this hiding out, hoping it doesn't get us, because we know that that's a vain hope. It is going to get us. So we're just going to come out and face it head on and learn to enjoy that process. Instead of hoping that nothing happens to us, we're going to jump right up there and face down those fears and just prove to conditioning that we're equal to our lives.
Yes, it's really a thrilling process in my experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so for these and other opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry tonight, press *6 and then 1 to make a show. And focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes.
All right.
So here we go.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. This is Dan from Los Angeles.
Hello,
hi.
Dan. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I was looking forward to the radio show coming up, and the thought dropped in, you know what, maybe I'll call in this time. I haven't called in a while. And immediately there was lots of self-hate, you know, you have nothing to say, blah, blah, blah. So taking that as an incentive to hit *6, I did.
That is the spirit, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I was caught up in a story about there's too much to do. The content was work, but I guess that doesn't matter. And being busy, man, just the energy of urgency.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. Anyway, so had a reflective listening buddies call, and showing up for that, you know, put the brakes on. So that opened a little room, and I'm just kind of amazed, grateful that when you just take a little step towards center, it just stopping for that half hour, just the world opened up. And I saw someone trying to do practice, okay, if I do that, okay, I'm clearly in the dark room, so I have to get to the light room. How do I get to the light room? Blah, blah, blah. And watching that, finally I just said, you don't try to get to the light room. You just take a breath. And for a moment, you know, that everything was silent. And then the voices immediately started in. I was like, oh, I get to take another breath. Are you still there? Okay, I can't hear anyone.
Hold on. Oh, let me check here. Yeah, Sherry, are you there?
I'm hearing you guys.
Okay.
Oh, I can hear you now. Sherry, can you say a few more words to make sure we have you?
I'm talking.
I'm hearing a little bit.
Oh, I wonder what's going on.
I can hear you good now, Sherry.
Okay. Do you need me to call back in, or are we okay?
Dan, are you there?
Yeah, I think we're okay now. I was just talking for a while, and I didn't know if I was talking over you, so.
All right, here we go again. Okay. So, Dan.
Gone again.
Oh, wow.
Back.
Oh, there you are.
Well, this is very strange, isn't it? It's like that Verizon commercial, right? The only time you can hear the person is when they say, can you hear me? So if we do this, we're fine. But if we try to go anywhere else, then we all go away. All right. So, Dan.
Yes.
We were with the importance of breathing.
Yeah, and just doing it, not trying to do it, not trying to figure out how to do it, not being a personality trying to do something.
And the magic of that, of course, is that what happened is we turn our attention and see. We turn our attention to... Michael, can you hear me okay?
Mostly. You're breaking up a little bit. Why don't you keep talking? We'll see how it goes.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, I'm not moving a muscle since Phil and Jen were talking. So, okay. So,
Michael, can you hear?
I can hear Dan. I cannot hear Sherry.
Okay, Michael, I'm gonna call in again and just see if we can get something better going.
Okay. Okay, great.
Let me call in again. Okay, thanks.
Okay. Yeah.
Hello?
Okay, there you are, Sherry. And Dan, are you there?
All right.
Still, yes.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to lay the phone down very carefully. So what happens in that situation is that, so it's kind of back to how do I get out of the dark room? And you're right, trying to get out of the dark room is the way to stay in the dark room. But what you did was redirect your attention from the story of urgency to presence. And as soon as you do that, you're out of the dark room.
It's... I guess using my old language, it's a miracle.
It really is. And of course, the trap that conditioning then sets for us is we're trained to look back to it to see if it's working. Are you still out of the dark room? Well, as soon as I look back to it, of course, the answer is no. I'm still in the dark room. I believe it, and guess what? I am. But if I, once again, turn my attention back to the breath, you know, or the blessing of calling somebody and having reflective listening buddies call, where for an extended period of time, I'm directing my attention away from that story and to the present and to someone else and to practice and that sort of thing, then there's an extended period of time where I'm actually not looking to conditioning to see how I'm doing. And I feel great, and the world is a wonderful place,
and it's a miracle. And then I hang up the phone, and the first thing it wants me to do is check to see where I am now. So the thing that we're learning in practice is never to check to see where I am now. Because as long as I'm breathing, I can be pretty sure I'm here, which is actually all I need to know.
It's really the, I was resonating with where, I think I heard this from you, where are you getting your information? So thank you.
You're very.
And passed down through the ages.
It's amazing. It is a miracle. It's a miracle that we find it. It's a miracle that we're open to it. And probably the biggest miracle of all is that we're willing to practice it.
I think I've also heard said that a lot of people come to practice by suffering enough. I've tried doing long enough that I was finally willing to try not doing.
Exactly. Yeah, the mark of an intelligent person, right? I've done this, and it hasn't worked. And then I've done it, and it hasn't worked. And then I've done it, and it hasn't worked. And at a certain point, we reach the brilliant conclusion that I think what I'm doing isn't working. And at that point, again, it, with whatever combination of things that come together, karma, great good fortune, another possibility is there for us, and we recognize it. I mean, the other possibility is always there, but we don't recognize it. We don't see it. And then in that magic moment, we do see it, and we choose it. We take the step toward it. And then, of course, the battle begins in earnest, right? Which is fine. It's great. Conditioning doesn't want to turn loose of us. Ego wants to own us forever. We've now seen that it's not a requirement to live like that, that it is possible to end suffering. We actually know there's a way to do that. It's possible for us to practice that, and we make that choice. And it's just glorious.
Mm. Make that choice again and again.
Mm-hmm. Yep, with every breath.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much. Thank you, Michael. I've waited for you the 5 minutes.
You are welcome, sir. Well, most of it, though, was, hello, are you still there? Are you still there? Hello? All right. Thanks, Dan. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Dan. That was a fun conversation. And we have another call here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Todd.
Well, hello, Todd. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm doing good. Thank you.
What's going on?
Well, for the last week or so, I've been using the most recent Musings newsletter. It's sort of been recording and listening to it kind of over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And then I dropped in that it'd be very helpful if I got on the radio show and maybe just read a little excerpt that I'm looking at and maybe we can just talk about it.
Yeah, sure. Sounds good.
Yeah. Oh, great. So this is just an excerpt. The thing's quite long, but this is just a kind of, for me, the meat and potatoes.
Mm-hmm. The tofu and potatoes, of course.
Thanks.
I knew what you meant.
Yeah.
I knew what you meant.
Exactly. So it goes like this. It says here, when there is a challenge or an imitation from practice, ego eye focuses on the content of the imitation or challenge and decides that that's not for me, that's not who I am, I don't want to do that. In awareness practice, it is never about the content. Whether we actually implement or execute the content of the imitation challenge is never the point. The point is to remain willing to explore and let go of the me that is being maintained as a result of the no. And then there's another little part here. It says here, looking at resistance. So it says here, once we encounter ego's resistance, we recognize the wisdom of surrounding ourselves with the mirrors that can reflect on a moment-by-moment basis where we are in life or in identity maintenance. This is especially true if we've been practicing for an extended period of time. We can know that Eagle Eye will use practice language, masquerade as the mentor, be willing to pay attention, in quotation, even agree to come on retreat as a way to maintain itself. In fact, ego has no problem assuming the identity of a spiritual practitioner. We must never, we must be ever alert to the very real possibility, even probability, that practice has become the content of identity maintenance. Mm-hmm. And that's the part I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what are you seeing in that, Todd?
I'm seeing that I feel like that's the place I've maybe come from and just coming out of.
Mm-hmm.
That the ego identity maintenance system basically had my practice. It was what's a good word for it? It got comfortable, and then it's sort of like, there's another little part in here, and I'll paraphrase it. I got sort of desensitized to it, that I didn't even know I was in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it started to choose and decide what practice is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
How I was going to practice.
Yep.
What things I was going to sign up for. That I wasn't going to practice at all for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It decided that, and that seemed like a viable option. Being in it.
You know, when we step back from it, when we come out the other side, it's just one of those, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What? Yes.
Yeah.
So I will suggest something to somebody, and they'll look at it, and mm-hmm. then they'll say, well, you know, I don't think that's for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've looked at it, and what I've realized is that blah 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I think, you know, if I were one of those Zen types from a few hundred years ago in another country, it'd be one of those throw them out of the second floor window and then leap on their chest, right? That would be one of those moments, because, you know, it's no, you've gone sound asleep. You're completely deluded, okay?
Right.
From center, you're not going to have a rational conversation about what you are or not or are not going to do in life. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? And yet, as you say, once somebody goes down that path of, well, I know what it feels like to be centered, and I have this relationship with the mentor, and, you know, the mentor is telling me that what I'm doing is a good idea, is a good thing for me, and so that's
mm-hmm.
what I'm going to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sobering, isn't it?
Whew. Wickedly sobering. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That part that you just came up here, that I had a blog from it. It says here, karma hides in plain sight and counts on us in being desensitized to its familiar presence. Therefore, it's essential that we practice paying attention to resistance, because it may be our only clue that we've encountered an unexamined realm of ego.
Yeah.
That's the huge part for me. It is an unexamined realm. It's like, oh, ego has my practice. Totally locked, lock, and barrel, and I've never seen it. I've never experienced that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the deadly place for most people is, I feel so good.
Right. Exactly.
This is great. I mean, life is great. Everything's working for me. You know, clearly I've arrived.
Yeah, I'm not
and
suffering
so,
much.
Yeah, I'm not suffering. And and if I suffer a little, well, that'll just be good for my practice. And we don't notice that, gosh, now all of my choices are completely egocentric.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't know. Exactly.
And we don't know. Yeah.
All my choices are very egocentric, even though they're practice choices, sure.
Yes.
But,
oh, yeah.
But Yeah.
So I enjoy this, and I do. I feel like that. I'm gonna do that. Or as you say, I think I'm just gonna take a break from practice.
Yep.
You know, I feel like my life is out of balance. It's just been focused on practice for so long. Mm-hmm. And I really need to get back in balance and do some other things with my life.
Right.
You think,
take some time off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only in retrospect can you smile and grin and laugh, but yeah.
Yes. Well, and there's that, the place that I go to with it, I usually don't say these kinds of things, but sometimes they're appropriate. Mm-hmm. We can be grateful that we didn't die in that state.
Yeah, that state of utterly unconsciousness.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Because even though here I'm happily unconscious, what comes next might not be so happily unconscious.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely. Yeah. So it's been, I just really enjoying the musings and I'll get reconnecting with all the great practice opportunities coming my way, which is great. Great to re-enter the atmosphere into awareness, consciousness. So that musing blog just hit me like, wow, that's exactly where I feel like I am, or going through, moving through. Maybe is the way to say it.
Yeah.
Maybe through that thing and.
Mm-hmm.
And just a quick shout out to most recent practices, the mornings with the mentor. Just loving that right now. Loving the mornings with the mentor.
Oh, good.
The group coaching and the support and just reestablishing a really solid record and listen practice again fell by the wayside, but just getting reacquainted with the mentor and getting that practice more consistent.
Yes.
And listening a lot, sure.
Yeah, you know, one of the things, Todd, that we're going to be moving toward more and more as time goes on, because of exactly what you're saying, is assisting people to understand the mentor is not permission. It's not license. I love you unconditionally is not the same as, so just do whatever feels good to you.
Yeah.
So we can love a child unconditionally, but we're not going to say, so sure, just do whatever you want to do. It's all fine because you're wonderful and I love you. You know, I love you unconditionally and you need to eat your vegetables and do your homework and help clean up the house and let's go ride bikes.
Exactly. Great. Good.
Yeah.
Well,
all right.
Really glad I got on tonight. Got a chance to explore that with you. And what do we often hear? Keep on keeping on.
Keep on keeping on. Gladys was right. All right. Thanks, Todd.
Thank you, Sherry. Thanks, Michael.
Night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Todd. And Sherry, we're going to hear from our coaches program here, and then we'll be right back.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This year's theme is training to live in this here now. In any training, having a personal trainer helps tremendously. We can think of Zen Awareness coaches as personal trainers. The coaches have been trained by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching with any number of life issues or awareness practice in general, with special emphasis on recording and listening. We hear from folks new to practice and old-timers alike that awareness coaching provides the extra support their heart desires. And since coaches donate a percentage of their fees to Living Compassion, having a coach also supports practice. To request a Zen Awareness coach, visit sanghamarket.com. Go to Services under All Categories. Click on the little monk at the bottom and then follow the directions. We hope to hear from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have more callers, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, it's Jennifer from New York.
Well, hello, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Good. Excellent. Thank you. What's going on?
All kinds of great things are going on, and I just thought I'd call and check in because it's been a while. And I had an idea of something to bring up, practice related.
So good.
So I sit every morning, and I've been noticing for a while now, I don't even know how long now, months for sure, I just don't even manage any counting of any one breath at all.
Uh-huh. So what are you doing as you're meditating along there?
My mind is just on all kind of things darting around. And I notice it, and I check in with the breath, the body. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just, I guess it's just instantly off to something else.
Okay, and I'm sensing that you would like that to be different. Is that true?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not like I'm feeling a huge problem with it. I guess I kind of am because I seem to have this belief like that's not how it's supposed to go. But then I also have this voice or idea or something that's like, well, I'm seeing that that's what's going on, so there's awareness practice happening.
So let me ask you this. When you finish meditating, could you tell me where your mind darted?
No, so there's just 15 minutes, and I mean it goes all over.
But you're not aware of where it's going. So it's not a matter of, oh, well, I'm thinking about that, and then I had this memory from when I was six, and
I was doing
this, and then...
I mean, in the moment, I'm catching it, and I see where it is.
Uh-huh. And so afterwards, if I said, so Jennifer, what were you looking at during that sit? You could tell me those things?
I could tell you at least a handful, I suppose, yeah.
Uh-huh. But there's a sense that a good part of the time you're just gone. You don't really know where you are. You're just not there.
You know that part. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know how much I'm not aware of and how much I am aware of.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So would you like to have a little experiment to work with?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. All right. So here's my suggestion. And then you're going to check in with me, right? Because this is not a forever for the rest of your life. This is just something to experiment with. So you sit down, and your goal is to notice where your attention goes. So it's not that your goal is to keep your attention on counting. It's to see where your attention is. And every time you recognize where your attention has gone, you note that to yourself. You know, it's a memory from my childhood, or I'm fantasizing about, or I'm planning dinner, or whatever it is
like
that you're doing.
Imaginary scorecard, like I noted it that time.
Well, and then when you notice where you are, then you come back to the breath, take a conscious breath, count one, and see what happens next. So if you leave again, then again, the goal is, well, where did I go? And so you notice where you are, what you went to, and then you come back and breathe and count two.
Oh, don't go back to one.
No, count two. And okay. Keep doing that to 10, and then start over again. And when you stand up from your meditation, look to see how much of it you were present for. Now, this is not turning it over to conditioned mind. This is just allowing it to arise in conscious awareness, what you noticed. Oh, so there was fantasy, there was memory, there was planning, there was writing a letter, there was, okay? And you're noticing where the attention is going. And then you just make a show. Thank you. There, good job. All right. And go on about your life.
Okay, so then when I try that out, I'm going to sit down and either count one or else notice where my mind goes and then count
mm-hmm.
one.
Yes, well, you'll
and
probably
then,
start
then
off with one.
Kind of tally up like, okay, I know it was in fantasy, I was in planning, and that's what I'll report to you.
Yeah, well, you're
just
going to
watch. I'll just see.
Yeah, you're just going to watch how it evolves. So you'll probably start out with one, right? You may even get to two or three, right, of focusing on the breath and counting. And then you're going to see if you can notice where you go, which will probably amount to you come to somewhere, and you'll note where you are, right? And just noting. So it's kind of interesting to see. Do you go to the past? Do you go to the future? Are you planning something? Are you in a conversation?
Yeah.
Are you upset about something? You know, where is it going? And then once you bring conscious awareness to that, take a long, focused breath, and on the exhalation, count one. Or two, or three, or wherever you are. It's like a little mini workshop.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you'll let me know what you see about that process, because it's a process that you're going to be doing, right? It's a whole little workshop. And you'll see what arises in you about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Okay. Cool.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. All right. We'll talk soon then.
All right.
All right. Bye, Jennifer. Thank you.
Bye.
You too.
Thanks for joining us, Jennifer. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next
caller.
Live on the air. You're on the
air. You're on the air.
Hello?
Ooh, big
echo.
This is Judith. Can you hear me?
Yes,
you're not echoing.
I'm talking to the computer this time, so I'm glad it works.
Yes.
But
I wonder, Michael, do you have a feel for that might
for
be where
the
echo is?
Where the echo is?
Judith, audio out of your computer.
I'm talking to the microphone on my computer.
And when you listen, you listen just to a
headphone or from a computer speaker.
The computer speaker.
I think that's the channel.
I'm using the app.
Do you have a way to turn
down
from?
To do what? Do I have a way to
turn
the sound down? Okay, I'll turn it down. How's that?
Let's see.
Is that any better?
Yes, it is for me.
You is that too yes, far down?
Nope, not a bit.
That's
we
good.
Hear you just fine. And we're not hearing us.
Okay, I couldn't hear you either. Now I turned it back up a little.
And we've got the echo.
Oh, well, shall I call in on the phone?
I think so.
All right, I'll give that a try.
Okay, thanks, Judith. Sorry.
Okay.
Bye.
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 Okay,
tonight is technology night, huh?
Okay, let's find another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
It's Gabriel. I wonder if Venus and Saturn lining up have to do anything with this.
Is that what it is? Mercury is fine. Now Venus and Saturn have gone crazy on it? How are you?
I'm great. I loved your conversation with Todd and then the subsequent caller. I forgot her name. Because it spoke to me, sense of, oh, well, everything is great. I'm not suffering. Practice is fine. So I should take a break from it.
Yeah.
And
we see that everywhere, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
We see that everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
I've been eating so healthy, I might as well just have a bunch of junk food. I've lost weight. I might as well just start eating again. I'm really fit. I think I'll quit the gym. It's across the board. I'm doing great. Mm-hmm. Time to get back into suffering.
Yeah, I don't know about anybody else, but it never fully succeeds. Like, I can never fully turn practicing off.
Yes. Well, that's a very good thing.
Yes. It's almost like I was asking myself recently, what am I really, really passionate about consistently throughout my whole lifetime? And practice is my real answer in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, conditioning would take what I'm really, really, really passionate about and package it in a way that it can sort of get me away from it.
Yeah.
But I always come back.
Yes. Well, you know, the thing that I think would speak to this issue for a lot of folks mm-hmm. is that when we practice for ourselves,
mm-hmm.
this is going to happen to us over and over and over. I'm practicing because I'm suffering. Now I'm not suffering. I don't need to practice. And that's actually not the Buddhism that we do. we're in the I practice for all beings
mm-hmm.
club of Buddhism. And well, so to avoid that experience, the very mm-hmm. best thing we can do is to practice for others.
Mm-hmm. Well, my version of it goes a little bit more like this. I practice because I don't know what else to do with my life.
Well, that's the same egocentric orientation, though, right?
Is it? So can you translate that?
Yes. Well, it's about me.
Mm-hmm.
It's about me. And when we're doing anything for me, it's going to be unsatisfactory. And it's going to follow that same pattern that Todd was laying out, which there's nobody who practices who doesn't know that one, right? That
mm-hmm.
it's fine. I don't have any problems. The relationship is great. Why attend to it? You know, work is fine. I can stop focusing on it. Mm-hmm. Whatever, my finances are great. Why do I want to pay attention to how I'm spending money? Okay, so that constant setup, that relationship with ego that is always going for drama, for soap opera, for suffering, right?
Mm-hmm.
Always talking us into. So as long as we're focused on me, we're going to be in a world of dissatisfaction, of suffering. That's what the world of me is. So we're not going to be able to have a me experience that isn't unsatisfactory. Me mm-hmm. can never be happy. Me can never be fulfilled. Me can never be at peace. And me can never be generous or grateful or unconditionally loving. It just can't. It's an illusion of separation from life.
Yep.
Okay? So that's why if we focus on a practice that is beyond me, then it's the satisfaction we seek, we receive because of what we're giving. We can never get satisfaction directly. I can't do something that will give me satisfaction or anything else. It just doesn't work that way. But through what I'm doing, through what I'm giving, there's an experience. So it's the, you know, if you want love, if you want to feel loved, you need to love. You can't find somebody to love you and get the love that you want. The only way to have the love we want is by loving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
so that's the way out.
I've been known for being complicating things more than they really are. I know that that's conditioning, but right now I'm watering my garden plot, and I'm feeling satisfaction because I'm taking care of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think we've talked about this in the Sangha, but when it comes to human beings, there's a level of complexity. For example, I don't know if I'm a reclusive type. I doubt it because I'm so outgoing. But I've been reclusive for many phases in my life because maybe it has to do with lacking a certain skill in speaking with other human beings. I do well with animals, with plants, with sort of like being alone. But there's a combination of fear and sort of like a lack of really kind of knowing how to really, truly, deeply, honestly and authentically relate with human beings, which is where my practice is at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like expressing my frustration without being angry, or sort of like constantly feeling misunderstood, which the class on the Enneagram helped like enormously. And calling in the radio show, going on retreats, all of that has helped greatly. But I'm still finding a level of fear and dissatisfaction with my ability to relate with other human beings, especially. And
yes.
this is something that I don't like to say it like this, but that I'm working on. And I have a ton of ways of working with that, but I also have a ton of, well, honestly, a ton of fear.
That.
I'm constantly, I feel like I'm constantly coming off as pushy, arrogant, know-it-all, and a lot of times it's conditioning, taking what I know about practice and using it as a weapon against certain people, and just thought I'll continue to make that mistake. And I'll continue to have these interactions where I feel like I'm hurting myself and I'm hurting others.
Okay, so here's what dropped in as you were talking,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I wish I were more informed about this because then I could be really articulate when I tell you this. but I'm not. Mm-hmm. But you have Google, and you're good at Google. So here's the deal. There's the prayer of St. Francis.
Uh-huh.
The one of the I think that this is the case. If not, it's okay. Google will tell you that I seek to love rather than be loved.
Uh-huh.
To understand rather than be understood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know that one?
Oh yeah, yes I do. And intellectually, that makes a great deal of sense because I'm constantly in what externally looks like I'm in the giving position. Of course, that's not necessarily the case, but it superficially, at least, that's the spot that I'm in. But there's also
a
level
of story.
Uh-huh.
That's the story. But if you're seen as a know-it-all and, you know, all of these other traits, using practice against people, I doubt that those people would experience you as being giving. Or if it's just not giving what they want.
It depends on the context. Like if it's somebody that's familiar, it's experience like
but
that.
But here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Intellectual understanding just doesn't take us anywhere. And
yeah.
So it truly is my encouragement for you to find that little saying and to print it out and to make that practice focus that every day when you get up, you read that. That's what you're seeking today. You're seeking to understand. You're seeking to give. You're seeking to benefit. You're seeking to, okay, so you truly are in a position of giving.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was thinking, looking at taking a month off of thinking about or talking about or recording about anything that has to do with what conditioning is doing to me or in me, and sort of just like taking a month off from even mentioning conditioning and just talking about what's working rather than what's not working.
Oh, I think that that's true across the board, always and ever for everybody. Yes, to get away from what the voices are saying, what conditioning is doing, what conditioning is doing to me. We've got to move beyond that. We really have to move beyond that. But that is not an alternative to what I'm suggesting.
Oh, no, I get it. That's why I said combined with.
Yeah. Yes, because it's that focus on listening rather than imparting.
Yes.
Yeah? So finding wisdom from others rather than telling them about your practice or that sort of thing.
They're sort of related, what I just said with what you said, in the sense that I'm listening for what's wise in others rather than what's not.
Yes. And not attending to the wisdom, in quotes, in you that you could impart.
Right.
Yeah. So there's a cultivating a humility.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah. All right, let me know. Because you've moved past your white shirt month.
Say that again.
So we need it. You've moved past your white shirt month. Remember? You were going to wear a white shirt every day for a month?
Oh, yes, I did.
Yes. So now here's a new month-long practice, right? Practicing one thing for a month is a very, very good thing to do. Very good thing to do.
Well, then it's a great thing that I'm very attracted to that lately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I like the 30-day commitment. It makes it manageable.
Yes, exactly so. Yeah, that all that scattering around for this or that, for something else. We're not doing that. If that's important, we can focus on that next month. We prioritize that as the next month practice. But this month, I'm focusing on this. So even if we do something, if we do something like Phil was talking about, you know, of using the cards from what universe are you creating, they still can be around the same theme. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit different angle or a subtlety or that sort of thing, but it's one theme for a month. Yeah.
And though because I moved past the white shirt month, I opened up to this. So it's like one leads to the other, and you just keep. It reminds me of that Zen fish story when it's like, oh, look at this fish, and it's like, leave me alone, I'm still looking at it.
That's right. Months later, there's hardly anything there, but it's still compelling. Exactly so,
Thank you, Sherry. Good night.
Thank you, Gabriel. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Gabriel. Sherry, we're about 3 minutes to the hour here. I do see Judith here in the queue. Would you like
Let's try. Let's try.
Okay, Judith, I think you're unmuted there.
Oh, I am. Hello. Thank you. I'll have to figure out how to use a headset with a computer next time. So here we are. And I'm doing my Africa fundraiser again this year.
Oh, lovely, lovely.
It is. I sent another email to the list of all the people that supported me last year, and I only heard back from a handful, but they're all donating very generously. So.
Oh, good. Very good.
Yeah.
And it's not too early to start, is it? That's such a great reminder for those of us.
Yeah, I was waiting for people to start talking about it, but maybe I could get it started.
There you go. Yeah. I can't get off the last fundraiser. So it sounds like we're in solidarity with that. I really liked what I did last time. I'm going to do it again this time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it worked really well, and if it's not the same amount, that's okay.
Oh, precisely. Right.
It made me so
happy. Doing it for the doing it.
Yeah, it made me so happy last year, and it was a way of connecting with a lot of people and being of service and getting my body moving, and there's just so many good things about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, go ahead.
I wanted to start now so that I could get the money turned in before the bridge walk, because last year it was kind of like, I'd really like that money now. I wanted to have it all turned in by the beginning of September. So that's what I told them, in case it takes a while.
Right. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
And
so it is such a wonderful experience of doing for the love of others, isn't it?
It really is. It's just so deeply satisfying to the heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we put ourselves out there, and we find that we can ask, and we can, you know, just get quite bold in our approach, because, hey, these are a bunch of sweet little people who aren't going to eat if we don't do our part. So, I'm going to go beyond whatever the voices have going, and I'm going to do everything I can to make this happen, because it's important, and it feels good.
Yeah, and then send them the link so they can see these faces. And one of my donors is a traditional Soto Zen priest, and she read all the blogs after I sent her the link. And she just fell in love with them all. So I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel special connection with these people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's lovely. It's lovely. All right. Well, I'm glad you made it through. And thank you for getting the ball rolling. I know Jen is over there going, yes, start talking about that now. I don't know when, as an organization, we're slated to start talking about it, but I don't think it's too early.
Not at all. It is the line.
Not at all. Yeah, exactly. That bridge walk is what, the first weekend, first Saturday in October.
That's
we gotta get rolling.
3 months.
All right, we're on it. We're on it.
Well,
thank
good
you,
to
Judith.
Hear your voice.
And yours. Without any echoes, it's very lovely. We'll work out all those other kinks as time
goes
on.
Yeah, I'll work on that.
All right.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Michael. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Judith. And thank you, Sherry, and thank the whole Sangha.
Uh-huh. Thanks to everybody. Thanks to everybody. It's so fun for me when we, you know, we don't often have a show like this where we have these kinds of challenges, right? Usually everything is very, very, very smooth and so
yeah.
fun. It's such a sport, and we
yes.
appreciate that. It's good to be a sport in spiritual practice.
Yes, and it's good practice, so it's fun.
Yeah, it is. All right, thank you, sir. Talk to you. Well, no, I won't talk to you next week. I'll talk to you the week after.
Yes, and
is that
stay
right?
cool.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. We'll do our best. Thank you. Good
night.
Good night.